it's innocence. In another case, it was a threat to, you know, the police officers. So, you know, who am I to just sit up here and make a specific judgment? That's why I don't know the proper information.
Panthers quarterback Cam Newton says something went wrong during the deadly officer-involved shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina. Obviously, a lot of discussion about that incident in Charlotte, as well as the latest out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, with a police officer involved in the shooting of an unarmed black man standing by his SUV. That officer has now been charged with manslaughter. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking to singer-songwriter Patty Austin about social justice, standing up and using the big platform, the big megaphone to make a difference considering all of the things that are happening in Black America today. And I want to hear from our listeners at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me talk to Charles. Charles, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Hi, Patty. And,
hi, Charles.
I just wanted to say good evening to everybody.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead, Charles. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so here's the thing. That's just a quick opinion for me and why this sort of thing keeps happening. The protests and the rallies and so forth, they never get down to the heart of the matter of the, like, the judges and the police. That's the heart of the matter. They can do things like, you know, if I get arrested today, the president, he can't do nothing about that. I would have to go through the system. So obviously, like, police have more power than, say, someone in a high level. So we need to really focus in on right at the heart of the matter where the power lies, like in the police state and also in the judges. The laws in which they are protected by, we don't have protection under that same law as mm-hmm. the, say, the police department. That's why, like, the police officer got arrested today, but doesn't, you know, that's an arrest, but they'll figure out a way to get him out of it on the back end now. They said this will quiet the crowd down by just an arrest, a quick arrest, but then they get off like the cops in Baltimore. They get off, they get back pay, and everything goes back to normal.
Well, let me say this, Charles, because you make an interesting point. You said, yes, the president can't do anything, but when you talk about the heart of the matter, you talk about judges, you're talking about sheriffs, you're talking about mm-hmm. state legislators, you're talking about city council members,
that's
the
right.
people that make the laws, and that's
actual,
what Patty just said, vote.
Yes, vote. You must vote, and I think our answer to a better world is to stop shopping. And I'd like maybe artists, black artists in the music business, to have a moratorium on making music for 30 days.
But, I mean, is that...
What would happen to the record business?
But is
what's
that,
left of it?
Is that realistic? You know,
totally.
Yesterday.
Totally.
Yesterday.
It's about commitment.
But see, here's the thing.
Look at what's happening with the whole dropping to one knee thing.
Okay.
One guy, everybody was ticked off with him the first day. Look at what's happening now. If you take a stand and it comes from a place of your heart and your soul, and it's not for you to stand out from the crowd and be noticed and sell something, if you take a stand that way, I think it has a much more profound effect on people than if you're, you know, if you're doing your Trump and saying, I'm going to make an announcement. By the way, here's my new hotel. You know, if you're not selling anything but the idea, look at what happened in Missouri when that beautiful young man said, we're not going to play this game on Sunday.
But understand.
And everybody said, ooh, let's fire the president of the school yesterday.
Now, that
we
was
need
a,
the
but
money.
That, but let me say.
It's all
yes,
about the money.
That was about money. And that was a realistic pursuit. However, there was a man from the Nation of Islam in Charlotte yesterday who was mm-hmm. talking about boycotting the shopping malls in Charlotte.
Well, it has
Charlotte.
To be done en masse or it doesn't mean anything.
But here's the problem with that. Because there was a former community leader in Charlotte, a former professional football player, that said,
right.
this isn't 1955 Montgomery bus boycott.
Yes, I agree with that.
Where you have black people that are working in those shopping malls.
Yes.
And that means, does that mean that you also take money out of their pockets, out of their mouths?
That's a sacrifice we're going to have to make.
Okay, now, without being monolithic as we are, you're going to have just like a whole lot of black folks. Yeah, well, my vote doesn't count, so
right.
I still got to go to work
right.
because I've got to feed my baby.
Yeah, I get it. But your baby's baby might not have a world to live in if you don't take a stand right now.
Okay.
That's how bad it is. Believe me when I tell you it's that bad.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. James, calling from Brandywine. Hey, James, go right ahead. What's on your mind? James, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing there?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay. Well, look, what I'd like to say is what we're seeing, and this is like a thing across the planet, we're seeing white folks feeling that they're losing the grip. And these things, yes, these shootings and all these things are kind of like to put us back in the box, back in the hole. And we need to do grassroots-type movements and not be afraid, like Colin Kaepernick and things like that. Other things we can do are economic boycotting. I like that. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he mentioned something about the lawsuit. So they kill a black man. Then they pay the family millions of dollars, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. Where is that money coming from? It's coming from the taxpayer.
That's right.
So
exactly.
Maybe one of the things would be to make the police pay that lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's complicated, and you have to do, I think, many different things. You have to attack on yes, different levels of different facets. Yes. That's what I think.
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron calling from Richmond. Hey, Aaron, what's on your mind?
Like some of the calls are saying, I think it's a number of things. One of the things, touching on, like the quarterback, don't watch the NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
It starts somewhere, and believe me, if you start making them worry, whether not watching them games, they don't have ratings, they can't pay their sponsors. Don't patronize Walmart. This little thing, you just believe it, if it starts hitting them.
Amen.
As far as, like you said, when black people work in them establishment, if you're not going there, they're not going to have any business. They're not going to have a job anyway. There's nothing they can do about that.
Okay.
But like you were talking about the mall, if we don't go to the mall, it doesn't matter what color you are. You're not going to have a job much longer.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mindy calling from D.C.
Estrogen, finally.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi,
I just wanted to share. I had the chance to go to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, before any young adult who's eligible to vote in this country, before you cast your vote, it is imperative that you go to the museum. I call it the Museum of the Black Experience in America. I know it's a different title, but I think this museum gives young people and African Americans, black people, something to identify with. This can help you make a more sound decision when you're casting your vote, to make certain that you're counted in the next 25 years. You know, these protests and things are going to continue, but while we're protesting, I think we need to make certain that we do stop at this museum before November 8th, before we cast our ballot.
Okay, Mindy, I do like that idea. What do you think about that, Patty? Because, you know, one of the things I find, you know, interesting, you know, 50 years ago, we had legalized segregation.
Right.
Now we have these deadly police shootings. We still have incidents of redlining. We even had today, and I really wish that I was able to find it again. We even had a volunteer in Ohio, someone volunteering for the Trump campaign, who sat down, mm-hmm, who stepped down, I should say, because when interviewed by a reporter, she said, we didn't have racism in America until after President Obama was elected.
Oh, I saw her, yes.
Yeah, so I think that, you know,
lovely.
The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah, well, you know, if you grow up in a house where you hear your grandfather using the N-word all the time and some minority person is raising you, and not your parents because they're doing fundraisers and going to parties every night, you have a you say stuff like, you know, here's a bowl of Skittles. Because you're in an ivory tower and you're not seeing what's going, really seeing what's going on in the world. And you've got a lot of people that have those kinds of problems, you know, and they're just kind of stuck. When I heard that woman today, I became a bit physically ill from hearing her talk, because I understood that the place she came from, her little lofty perch. And I don't know, I want to start an organization called Walk in My Moccasins, where everybody has to role play for a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this great sketch that Eddie Murphy did years ago on SNL, where he goes into a cigarette candy store in whiteface, and the guy behind the counter hands stuff to him. Hey, you like some cigarettes? Just right over there. Mm-hmm. He comes in as a brother. What are you doing in my store?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that dynamic has not changed an iota, not one iota. And I say, you know, this is my new campaign. I want everybody to get their DNA done when they're born so they can find out how black they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Because technically, we're all mixed up.
But let me ask you, you make the point about, you know, Eddie Murphy. I'm sure that you have seen in the entertainment world, there are times when there have been some people who have been reluctant to speak out because of the detrimental impact that they think
they're
scared.
But you know.
So, I mean, but what's the difference between those that do and those that don't?
Having a pair. You either have a pair or you don't. I'm not mad at you if you don't.
Okay.
But what I'm saying now is you better grow a pair. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you're going to, not only are we going to be in a lot of trouble, you're going to be on the wrong side of history. I saw a documentary the other day about great-grandchildren and grandchildren of people who decided to go Heil Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And what they go through now because their grandfather decided to help kill 6 million
yeah.
Jews
mm-hmm.
and 20 million Ethiopians, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever that horrific number was. Don't go crazy on me if I get the number wrong. But the bottom line is they killed a lot of folks. And if your grandfather or great-grandfather participated in that, that's a familial connection. And people are looking at you today now that they're fortunately sadly more highly evolved because of being on the dark side of the universe. These kids are catching it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say you've got to grow a pair for them. Mm-hmm. It's not even about you. It's. I just did a show at the Hollywood Bowl with three of my favorite singers, Dee Dee Bridgewater, Letta See, and Judith Hill. And we did a show that the first half of the show at the Hollywood Bowl was a tribute to Natalie Cole, who, by the way, never got the props she deserved when she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we honored Lena Horne, Dinah Washington, and Eartha Kitt. And we found, unfortunately, we were not able to use it because we didn't have licensing rights, but we're getting them because we're going to do this show, hopefully, all over the world. But we found audio on Lena and Eartha talking about just what's going on now,
mm-hmm.
back in the 80s. Okay? There's a quote from Lena talking about, it hasn't really gotten together yet. I've seen improvement in my lifetime, and I sure hope my grandchildren see it and that we get it right by then, but I doubt it.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jay from Crofton, Kim in Fairfax, Virginia, and Sylvia in D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking with Patty Austin, singer-songwriter, as we get closer to the opening of the new Smithsonian, the National Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture. Boy, that's such a long name.
It sure is.
You know,
we're gonna
have to practice
the initials
that one.
There.
But everyone coming. Certainly is looking forward to it. Even as we look forward to that, we continue to look back on what has happened during this past week and the loss of life of black men at the hands of police. And it does give us pause and gives us reason to think about what is happening to our community. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's go to, let's say, Jay. Jay calling from Crofton. Hey, Jay, what's on your mind? Jay, are you there?
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Jay.
So I just wanted to respond to your question about what we can do about the police brutality.
Sure.
And, yeah, I was really empowered to call in because I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think that what we need is really to have a two-pronged approach. And the first thing is to train the officers. Because you can't get anywhere unless the officers know what they're doing.
Right.
They know how to handle the situations that they're in.
Yes.
And then secondly, you need to then, if you have the laws that are on the books now, obviously, I mean, what has it been, about 2 convictions out of 50 that where the officers have been charged? You have to change the laws in order for the officers to have accountability. So it's training and accountability is how you can change things.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jay, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Fairfax, Virginia. What's on your mind, Kim?
So my question is, I know everybody, you know, has been focusing on all the shootings this week and everything, but it seems like our community is facing many issues from black-owned black crime. You look at what's going on in Chicago to kids dropping out of school, not getting their proper education. So I'm wondering, how do we come together as a community to discuss just everything that's going on? And I'm really excited about the museum because you can see what's happened in the past and how far we've come, but we still have those challenges there. And so I'm wondering, you know, even outside of the police issue, how do we start to get that discussion going in our community? Because if we're not respecting, you know, one another and taking each other's lives, why would the cops, you know, respect us? And one way too to deal with the cops is through the elections, whether it's your local, federal, state, and the Department of Justice hands out a lot of grants, community grants, to the different law enforcement officers, and that's a process that you can influence in Congress to take a look at what type of training, getting video cameras, and all those things.
Let me see what, you know, Patty says about that, because I spoke about being, you know, monolithic, and you talk about coming together, and there obviously are issues outside of the police shootings. There are issues about education. There are issues in our inner cities. There are Chicago prime example.
Start,
you know,
with slavery.
Explain that.
Tell me anybody that gets up from slavery after 200 to 400 years of nonsense and brainwashing. We have been taught by the best, and this is another thing that's frightening about T. Rump, as we call him. We have been fighting the whole divide and conquer mentality of the ruling class, which is you are a field Negro, you are a house Negro, so now you've got us at each other's throats based on shade. You know, you're a little bit darker than a brown paper bag, so you can't get in. You, because you got, in quotes, some white blood, we'll let you stay in the house. So you raise generation after generation after generation after generation with that mentality, just like you raise the kids in your house to be hating on those people. And it takes a long time to wash away that hate, a long time. People will wash it away intellectually. They still don't feel it in their gut. They've done scientific studies where they've put black people in front of screens and shown them pictures of different kinds of people from all around the world. And the minute they see somebody black, they go into hyperventilation.
Right. So how
that's
do
what
how,
we've been
so
taught.
How do we
you have
evolve?
To be carefully taught.
Because that what you're
we have
talking
to be patient with ourselves, and we black folks need to do so much work on themselves.
Yeah.
We don't like to use the word psychiatry, but my parents were psychotherapists, and we need to do some psychotherapy in the black community. We have to get to the root cause of our hatred, of our self-hatred. You know, I was talking to someone about this today. What do we expect from white folks? They grow up in an environment of hatred, and that's what they bring with them. And how are you going to treat me if you don't like yourself?
Okay. Thank you so much, Kim, for your input. Sylvia, calling from D.C. Hey, Sylvia.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
I wanted to address what Patty said. First of all, Harold, and thank you so much for having me.
Sure, absolutely. I love Patty.
She's very important to me that Patty said about not going to the games, not going shopping. I come from a generation where my parents were involved in the whole bus boycott
in
down
the movement,
south.
Yes.
For over a year, they did not catch the bus.
All right.
Nobody complained. That's just what they did. They had to have change. They had to. I say not only not watch the football games, don't even go to them.
All right.
Don't even participate or buy or spend your money with those with that whole multi-trillion dollar industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because like she said earlier, our money counts. We count.
That's right.
We can make a big difference. And aside from that, I also just wanted to say thank you for giving me for helping me to make a conscious decision to use the platform that I do have. I don't have a large, I don't have a huge Patty Austin platform. I don't have a huge.
thank you for that kind
platform that the artists have. I have a small platform. I'm the first Black girl to write the Saturday Night Live, so I have people that will listen to me. So when you started talking about the whole Eddie Murphy movement and what he brought back then, it just this whole conversation that you guys are having, it brought up so much and so much that we have to do and so much that needs to take place. And we had started at one time, Patty, I don't know if you are aware of this, but Black people had started, like, recently to start putting their money in African-American banks.
Oh, yes, I'm very aware of it. Very aware
And then
of
all
it.
Of
yes.
a sudden, that got laid over to the side. Yes. I don't know how that you know, it happened for about a week or two.
Right.
But we need to get back to spending our money with us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sylvia, thank you so much. And one would hope that, as one of the previous callers said, that the new museum that's going to be opening on Saturday will be, you know, a starting point or a restarting point for education, for Black pride, for and indeed educating, you know, the masses, because still, even if we know, there is still a they that does not know. and I think, you know, that same kind of argument could have been made for the Holocaust Museum that opened up, you know, many years ago.
I was just going to mention the Holocaust Museum,
And I went.
Yeah.
I knew,
and
I went.
Absolutely.
And
did it move you?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no, and if it,
absolutely.
Unless you're dead, it's got to move you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about humanity. And ultimately, I mean, I don't know about your ultimate goal. My ultimate goal is that we stop seeing each other in color and start seeing each other in black and white in a way. You know, we've got to get the color out of the way. It's the blood comes out when you stick somebody. It's all the same color all over the universe. And we're part of a very big web called the universe. It's a tapestry. And if somebody pulls a thread out of it, it starts to unravel. And that's what we're seeing now. We're also seeing people who feel tremendously entitled. They come out of the womb, and the first thing their mommy says after she kisses them is, honey, you're going to have it any way you want to because it's your world. Hence, we hear the words, we're going to take America back. Back means you're going to take it when you could have it exactly like you wanted it all the time. But that's not how the universe flows. The universe flows so everybody gets their shot at the wheel, and you're either paying attention and you take advantage of it, or it passes you by and you lose it and you have to find out what it feels like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We all get a chance, if we're paying attention, to feel what it feels like in every aspect of life.
Tasha, you've been very patient, calling from D.C. Oh, and we lost Tasha.
She'll come back.
Yeah, hopefully she can give us a call. She can give us a call back. When you look back at the course of your life and you continue to observe some of the things, Patty, that are happening in the world, and I know you kind of, you know, spoke tongue in cheek about, you know, the DNA tests, but
it is tongue in cheek, but not a bad idea.
it may very well not be, but how when you look back at what, you know, and people like you, entertainers and people in high profile positions have experienced as it relates to, you know, segregation, discrimination and the like. And now you see what is happening now. Do you see any promise for a better world?
Yes. And I think the way we make this happen, you know, I have a marvelous goddaughter who's in her 30s and I'm in my 60s. And I was just teasing her the other day because anybody that's over 40 or, yeah, I guess that's about the age range, doesn't have a clue about that thing, that new thing attached to our umbilical cord called our cell phones, you know, that our lives are in and our...
Yeah.
Our everything is in there. Our messages, our notices, our emails, all of that stuff is in there. And of course, at 66, that's like the last thing that's important to me is to be on top of social media. But because I have her in my life, it makes me pay attention to that. Because she has me in her life, I'm able to say, put the freaking phone down for 5 seconds and see what's going on and be in this moment. Mm-hmm. Don't document this moment. Be in it. Then document it. Think about it for a minute. So I think that we have to have a generational marriage. We have to have a marriage in the black community with all black people, with our young brothers who do not realize that they are kings. They don't get it yet, but mm-hmm. they are. And we need to support them so that they can feel like that. Our young black women who don't feel that they, especially the ones who are so-called on the lower rungs of society, through no fault of their own, through accidents of birth, whatever, however you got there. We have to make our opportunity. And I so subscribe to what Hillary is saying. Stronger together. As black people, we have got to unify. We've got to understand what we are facing. Mr. Trump said, what have you got to lose? Well, with you in power, everything.
I'm gonna have to let that be, you know, the last word. But don't wear out your voice for tomorrow.
that'll still be working, baby.
Without a doubt,
we're gonna work it.
Patty Austin, thank you for coming. Love you always.
Love you more.
I love to have you here sharing with us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 on this Thursday, September 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at HFisher.